This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis.
Scoop.
There's video. It's great.
Why did you do that?
If I don't do you first, people complain.
Okay.
I have to do you first.
Can CJ be second?
It went in my nose.
Fantastic. I heard it.
Clearly Canadian CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Don't shake it.
Here.
Not yet. Sorry.
All right.
I was just showing them the label because it's video now. Clearly Canadian.
And it's just a three-person show this week, so let's move on.
Welcome back, Sam.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sam Claiborne is also here. I don't know why he wanted to go last. Still feeling, he's on Hawaii time, I think.
He is.
I was always at the end of the table.
That's true.
It's not true.
Sam, you have a mug here?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, all right, let's do it.
Somebody left a bag Whoa. Of clearly
don't
Canadian
point that at me.
On CJ's desk.
I have no idea where this came from.
Oh, come on. You knew.
I absolutely don't.
Who would put it on your desk?
I have no clue.
Wait,
it just showed up yesterday.
I think that's a little scary.
I thought clearly Canadian was a whiskey.
No, there's a whiskey.
That's Canadian Club.
Gibson's
yeah,
Finest,
Canadian
actually.
Club.
It was a Gibson's Finest See, whiskey.
You have a yeah. whiskey
have
with
whiskey.
Your surname?
Absolutely.
When I used to bartend, so Canadian Club, it's not low-end whiskey.
Oh, it's low-end whiskey.
But I mean, I'm just like, it's not nice. It's not
Cheers.
Nice at all. And there was one guy when I would bartend that like he would yeah. call out like I want a CC and Coke, and I'm like, if you're naming your whiskey, whatever.
That's good.
This brings back very, very, very early memories, like NES day memories. I was totally into Clearly Canadian.
This is good.
A young lad in Iowa.
You got super excited. You're
yeah.
like Clearly Canadian.
And it's still in the same bottle.
Yeah, that's right.
It tastes so sweet.
Welcome back, Sam.
My mind was associating your memories with Canadian Club, and I was like, what?
Yeah, that's same.
Welcome back, Sam.
I was eight years old having a snifter and playing
this
California
is so
games.
Sweet.
The clearly Canadian water is?
It's good. Mm.
Try it, Damon.
No, I'm not going to try it. I have my own. I have my own bubbly water.
Okay. This is not bubbly water.
It's good.
It's soda.
Mm.
Anyway. Pop. We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about games with bummer endings.
Mm.
Oh, man. Ooh. We are going to flip through the April 1997 issue of EGM, which I left on my desk, so I'll run out and grab it. Or maybe I'll send you to grab it.
I can go get it.
But first, is the year of our Switch 2019 the Switch's best year yet?
Mm.
That is the question posed to us from Tristan, our listener. He emailed us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like you can.
Did I miss like 300 game announcements last week? What happened?
What are you talking about?
This year?
He's skeptical.
Well, let Tristan explain, Sam. Okay.
No, let's cut him off. Let's move on. All right.
He says, hey, GameScoop, love the show. Just wanted to write in, see what your thoughts are on the Switch's 2019 software release schedule. To me, it seems like it might be its best yet, topping its 2017 release year.
Nah, man.
Mm. We have games such as Animal Crossing, Pokemon, Link's Awakening Remake, Luigi's Mansion 3, Astral Chain, Mario Maker 2.
Oh, when you put it like that.
And more. I just can't see that being topped. Thanks for the great content and keep up the good work.
I'm very, very excited about Animal Crossing. We don't know anything about it yet. Like, I can't imagine that they would like botch it or like it, you know, it'll have some sort of like monkey's paw situation where the wishes come true, but in some horrible way. It's probably gonna be great, but we don't really know. Like, we don't know. We're not gonna find out till E3 probably.
Yeah.
I could see if all of these games appeal to you. I could see how maybe 2019.
That's I think
is
that's
looking good, but
can I look at the list.
Yeah, actually, that's, most of them don't.
It's insane. Zelda is one of the greatest video games of all time. It's gonna be on the all-time greats list.
And you're talking about Breath of the Wild, not Link's Awakening.
Excuse me, Breath of the Wild is gonna be on the all-time greatest games list.
And these things are all very.
I also loved Mario Odyssey. Yeah. That's like really close to Breath of the Wild
absolutely.
For me. And like,
yeah.
They're just that's like the more of the Nintendo experience that I'm looking for.
Yeah,
I don't personally. I've never played Animal Crossing. I don't play Pokemon.
And they gave us.
I've never played Luigi's Mansion.
They gave us the Ultimate Smash Brothers in 2018.
Yeah, yeah. And those feel like a lot of remakes. I mean, we've seen like you know.
Whoa.
No, I'm just saying. There's like reiterations of those games. You know,
yeah, I think we all like that about Nintendo.
And we do.
It's
but
not
I'm just saying.
A bad thing.
It's definitely not a bad thing. But it is not Breath of the Wild. It is not like Mario Odyssey.
I'm so jazzed and excited that the Link's Awakening remake is a real thing.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So cool. But like, I'm absolutely flabbergasted that it's a full price game.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's Nintendo.
Yeah, but like how, like everyone surely thought that was going to be like $40.
Maybe
right?
the whole world turns upside down halfway through. one thing about this game selection is that every game in it, and this is a take, is a slow game. And like, there's none of them are like fast action-y games.
Astral Chain.
But Astral Chain
I don't know what Astral Chain is.
Platinum games. It's a new thing.
That's the one exception.
That doesn't look like a good game, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like crazy about platinum games in general.
Oh, they've not had a great record.
Yeah, but it's been a bit.
Well,
Mario Maker 2, though.
Yeah,
really good.
Definitely play that.
Love that.
Yeah, it seems a little bit more in the Splatoon 2 sequel where it's unfair to call it a 1.5 because it is a sequel, but it's you know, it's not completely you know redoing something from scratch in a new vision. It's just like more of what people liked.
Yeah, I love the staff created stuff in Mario Maker, and
absolutely.
I want it like that kind of sweet again.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care what you guys make in Mario Maker. Come on.
And the crazy
I
want to
play what Nintendo makes in Mario games.
Like, I thought Mario Maker had... I knew there was some stuff missing, but I thought I had, like, mostly everything right. And then I saw the sequel. I saw Mario Maker 2, the trailer. And then that was the first moment where I noticed how much stuff was missing from the first Mario Maker. It's like, oh, Slopes, the Angry Sun. Like, all this... Just all this stuff that wasn't in there that people are going to be able to do.
The Angry Sun is in there?
Yeah.
Boom.
Love that song.
Sun was good. Sam, I need to see a...
just got
to
run.
Need to see a version, two of your Infinite Mountain. I think you would, Sam.
I just rewatched that video.
It's so good, man.
I was crying.
It's so good. It's really funny.
For Zach.
Anyway, 2017 will be hard to top, I think, for me.
Yeah.
Moving on. Steve in Nashville, Tennessee.
Cool.
Hello.
He is a big gamer, but he is unconvinced that games are art.
Whoa.
Allow him to explain. First, I'd like to say that I love your show. I want to thank you for consistently producing such engaging content. I'm writing to ask whether you believe video games are art. I recently returned to gaming after a very long hiatus, and I've been stricken. Oh, I forgot. God damn.
Oh.
Cool. Oh,
you can't do it.
Awesome.
You just stopped.
I just did it.
Okay.
I just did it.
That's
Justin.
So good.
I've been stricken with how games media and the broader community generally treat this question. That is, as a foregone conclusion, that they are art. I'm not sure I'm convinced. I love games and don't mean to diminish the work of developers, understanding full well that it requires massive amounts of talent to create high-quality gaming experiences. That said, even the most imaginative and well-designed games, Breath of the Wild, Celeste, Horizon Zero Dawn, seem to fall short of qualifying as art. I can't put my finger on why exactly, but I believe it has to do with two things. One, the object of gaming is inherently competitive. The object of art is elusive, but it is certainly not competitive. Mm. Two, compulsive tasks, such as running, jumping, attacking, are at the core of most gaming experiences. So while games may have artistic elements, they are fundamentally about mechanics, not meaning. These are just my thoughts. I have honestly never heard the topic discussed intelligently. and was wondering if your illustrious panel would take up that task.
Well,
I don't know.
The intelligent. That was Legend of the Mystical Ninja sound effect, wasn't it?
Well, it's just no, the it's Konami just logo.
I mean,
so it, but it would have been.
But, yeah. But
it rolled into it. It's like I was like that Ninja Turtles is like Konami. Okay.
I always think Castlevania 4 when I hear that.
I think Ninja Turtles and Mystical Ninja.
Yeah.
But sorry. Particular one is pulled from Salamander on TurboGrafx-16.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I could
whoa
tell.
There you yeah go. They use the Konami, they use that same thing on TurboGrafx? I yeah didn't know that.
Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
Scoop. We're always trying to avoid this conversation
yeah
as long as
well
possible.
I feel like we had this one a little bit too when we were talking about what do you guys like better, gameplay or, you know, just like the narrative story-driven games. Yeah. And I think it does go back maybe a little bit to that, but I don't know, man. To actually say that games are not art, is that his main claim? Games are not art.
Yeah. But he doesn't really know why.
Yeah.
I'm not being condescending.
No, no, yeah.
He's just says
I wouldn't go on the record and just make a blanket statement like that at all when you look at all the visual and aesthetic details that go into making games, especially now. I mean, before there was definitely, you know, I think they were more mechanics based. Now, for sure, like, you know, crazy artistic.
It's a little bit of he's taking a leap here that, like, because of their interactive nature, right? Because it's you're having a dialogue with the game and there's game mechanics involved, that's what sort of disqualifies it from being art. But to me, that, like, presupposes that it has to be passive. Like, if you were just watching a game, nothing else changes, but you just watch it. You just watch Uncharted being played, then it would, for some reason, qualify in the same way that other video based mediums do. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't buy into that.
So every Metal Gear Solid game is basically art.
Yeah, only when only during the hour long. Only when you're climbing that ladder.
40 hours of Metal Gear Solid 4 are art.
Pretty much.
I mean, like, what if you just took the cutscenes out of the game and just watched the cutscenes? Is that now it's art? But when it was in the game, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's so many ways to define art, and if an artist creates something and says it's art, then it is.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what we think. It's just not that's not how you evaluate what art is. But also, there's lots of interactive art mediums. Architecture is one of them.
Yep.
That's a very famous one. Mm-hmm. Music. When you play music, you are experiencing
music.
Or dance to music.
Yeah. Then you're doing art to the other art.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, for sure. Anything. Yeah. Anything that all industrial design. You know why chairs and furniture looks and feels the way it does. It's got function and form. You know, someone that comes from that background or probably has some sort of training made a decision to make everything that you interact with look the way that it looks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's designed to evoke a certain feeling in you.
I think Apple kind of took that to the next level. They made everything super minimalist, and yet it was very artistic. And they actually made a brand off something that looks good, and that was their main thing, even though functionality obviously built in. But, you know, Apple's a design look company.
Have you guys seen, like, it's turn of the century, last century, Duchamp's piece where it's just a toilet. It's just a urinal.
Yeah, and, it's the start of modern art, right?
Yeah, he just named that and put it in a gallery, and that's art. So, like, ever since then, like, people have been reflecting on what art is, and it's not, and we use it to not just mean what's in an art museum. And he was already making that joke over 100 years ago, or about 100 years ago. So it's like it's such a non-issue for me. And when it came up the most was it Roger Ebert was bringing it up over and over again.
I remember that.
And it was just this kind of confused muddlement at the time about how video games were immature and childlike and interactive. And I think we're at a really cool place now where nobody calls them immature and childlike anymore, but the interactive thing keeps on coming up.
Yeah, I mean, but so even if they are immature and childlike, you know, they would just be bad art, right? Or like art, you know, worthy of being criticized in that same way you know, a film or a book or, you know, anything else is. Yeah, to me, it's a foregone conclusion, which I know he said a lot of people sort of see it that way. But yeah, I fall into that camp.
Here's a test. If you can criticize it, it's already art.
It's fair.
And we have lots of game critics out there.
That is true.
Yay.
A classic. We have an email from Demetrius here. He says, greetings from Cyprus. Think he lives on the hill? Long-time listener, writing a second time. First one was read on the cast.
Were you sitting on that joke?
6 or 7 years ago. I thought of it the other day.
He's two for two.
I love games. Yeah, it's true. I love games where the bad guys win. And this is why Heavy Rain is one of my all-time favorites. Spoilers.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to be a little...
Who wins in Heavy Rain?
Well, there's multiple endings.
Yeah.
But I think one of the... it says, are there any other...
Like a finger being removed.
Any other examples where there is a not so happy ending where the baddies win and everyone is miserable and unhappy? Thank you for the laughs and all the bagged milk. Keep on keeping on. We didn't give you any bagged milk.
Not today.
Well, there's a crazy famous example in role-playing. Yeah, see, this is a dangerous
discussion. So maybe we just say...
Well, let's just talk about all game endings, then we'll figure out which ones are evil. Explain them.
The statute of limitations is up, but it's just so cool that it's a shame if someone doesn't know. In Final Fantasy VI, the villain wins, and the world is destroyed, and then the final third of the game takes place in the world of Ruin. And then I won't spoil the ending. Like, I'm not saying that the good guys don't eventually come back. But that's been, you know, that was revelatory in the 16-bit days. It was crazy that happened. And then I was reading an interview this week where some of the creators of that game said that they were ahead of schedule, and so they decided to do that. It's like the one time ever. Like, that's the great quote, he's so nonchalant about it. He's like, oh, yeah, the game was coming together great, and so we had some time in our schedule. So like, we, instead of having the good guys
when have
just,
you ever heard of it?
Yeah, yeah, over today.
And they're like, yeah, so we just decided to, you know, have the villain win and make the world of Ruin. And it's like, what? It's like one of the most mind-blowing twists in video games that they just sort of snuck in there.
I think any game that stars Alucard is a game in which an enemy wins.
Alucard's a good, he's a good vampire.
Yeah. No, there's no such thing.
Alucard is.
Well, he's
such
only
thing.
A half vampire.
I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a good vampire.
Sam Claiborne. Bubble Bobble.
Yeah!
Bubble Bobble, I was just playing a bunch of NES games, and then I beat it with my kids to show that I beat it with one player, and I was like, yes! And
that was going to be my example.
Was it?
Really?
Yeah. No way. Yeah, that's a bad ending.
It's a bad ending.
Yeah, you have to beat it with two players.
And it's really difficult. You have to have one person get a key, and you have to get to this door.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in Bubble Bobble, you're playing as two boys.
I didn't know that. That
are turned into monsters, and they have to go and rescue their girlfriends.
Yes.
Yep. And it was designed for two players, and if you just beat it with one person, you get to your girlfriend, and then she evaporates into smoke.
Exactly.
And it says, this is the bad ending. Play with a friend to get the real ending.
Yeah. And then in the real ending, it says, like, you've learned a valuable lesson about friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So I played that because when I was showing my kids California Games and all these other games, I just was like, oh, I'll toss this one on there. And I actually beat it and showed them. I was like, see, you must play good with friends.
Did you beat California Games?
I beat California Games. Yeah, I showed the foot bag.
It's a really scary
crushed
ending.
It.
How do you beat California Games?
Yeah, you don't. You get the trophy.
You just play all the
The world of Ruin is just messed up in that one.
It's all post-apocalyptic California.
Yeah.
No one had any idea.
The California Republic.
Generally speaking, I don't like downer endings.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's a it's actually a cultural thing. Like in some, you know, like I think it's a lot more common in Japan to just have, you know, films end in a way that you're like, woo.
Avengers.
Well, but that's only half of the story. So it's a little bit different. That's not the final, the period at the end of the story.
I think they'll keep everybody dead.
Yeah, I think so.
Spoilers.
That, what do they call it? They're calling them something like the Ashen. It's like a word for everyone.
Yeah.
Really?
I think it's the Ashen.
Can you guys think of another game, though, where you're either playing the villain?
I mean, that's become a
Wario
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Tecmo's Deception.
You're setting the traps?
You're setting the traps.
That's a perfect one.
Stop the adventure.
Tecmo Knight?
Yeah, okay. You want to explain that one?
Every arcade game has
hard
a
to
bad
find.
Ending if you're out of quarters.
There's
quarters.
An obscure arcade game from the 80s called Techno Knight that has a really hardcore continue screen where the guy's like you're a knight trying to hold open the jaws of a monster as the time ticks down. And if you don't put in a quarter, the monster like closes its jaws and your limbs fly out everywhere.
So this came up. We have a version of 20 Questions in the office where well, I think Tina had started this, but she had Jeremy, our coworker, ask me games that he remembered but didn't remember the names of. Mm. And then we would all discuss and try to figure out what they were. And I like doing that. And I think the AV Club used to do an article like that. But figured out a pinball machine he was talking about called Raven, which is a very funny Rambo knockoff. And then that came up. He's like, all I remember is that the jaws are closing on this character. And Damon's like, we can figure this out. And he did.
Yeah. There's a whole
I didn't
Tecmo
know the game.
Night.
Yeah.
There's a whole subreddit for people that just have like memories of like, I don't know, like I think you had pink hair and like a sword and then you had a lightning power and then people are like, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Jared Petty's probably a mod.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh. Double Dragon. That's also kind of not a great ending. You pretty much
that's the opposite of Bubble Bobble.
Exactly. You have to take out your
it is the opposite of Bubble Bobble.
It's like, but that's the right
when
way.
When you rescue the woman at the end of Double Dragon, then you beat the bad guy, then the two players have to fight to the death.
Yep. Jimmy and Jimmy?
Naturally, yeah. Yep.
And only one of them
gets the girl.
It's messed up.
Hey, does it work that I've never beat the NES game? Did they change it in the NES game?
Yeah, you don't. It's just the arcade version.
Yeah, okay. Because it's the only one player at a time in that one.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's right. Okay.
One player in the NES.
What a stunted mess of a game that was on NES. What were they
But we didn't know. We didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
And it was still popular.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very popular. The other weird thing about it is that they could only have two enemies on screen at, this, yep. at the time, and they had yes. to be twins.
Yep. On
it had to be two of the same enemy on
and
screen.
And how wild is it that I never noticed that?
Never thought
that
about
game
that.
4 years!
Yeah. I never thought about that.
They probably made that game in 6 weeks.
on the flip
Still
side,
good.
Double Dragon 2 is awesome.
Double Dragon 2 is good.
Holds up really yeah. well. A more recent example, which I don't think this is a spoiler because the publisher... Ubisoft spoiled this on their own, setting up when they were announcing the sequel, but it's Far Cry 5. That has a bummer ending.
Of course,
where
yeah, that's
the bad guy wins. Yeah. I liked that ending a lot. That was cool.
And of course, in any Fallout game or Skyrim game, you can play a bad guy.
Yeah.
Make a bunch of bad decisions.
Yeah, that's true.
Mass Effect, you can do it in Mass Effect also.
True.
You can be pretty evil in the first Mass Effect.
Oh, dude, the montage of all the bad guy choices in the original Mass Effect.
Is there one?
Hilarious.
Oh, I gotta watch that. That sounds so good.
He's just, he punches the reporter in the face.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Or, yeah, I think he pulls a gun on her. Something
you can
really
exterminate old. A bunch of space monkeys.
Yeah. You're just Naturally. So mean about the Genophage. You're just like, I don't
yeah.
care.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you still talking?
It's so over the top. It's ridiculous. And it's all in the same. You're still
That's
the
a good
same
one. That's
Shepherd.
A really good example of villain play.
The Half-Life saga was left on a bummer and will probably be left there forever.
Yeah, we're
true.
Hearing, we're hearing those rumors, but yeah, man, either way,
takes forever. Literally,
I think GLaDOS always wins in Portal, right?
Mm. Portal 2, you things kind of come around.
Yeah, I guess.
No, in Portal, you like,
yeah.
You know, GLaDOS didn't win.
No,
at the end of Portal.
She kind
of
like.
Well, she's back for the second one.
Yes.
Yeah.
They patched the ending of Portal 1 when they knew they were making Portal 2. In the ending of Portal 1, you're out, you're sort of blown outside of the vault, and then you're out in the real world, and your body's just kind of laying there, and then they patched in something off-screen dragging you back.
Huh. See? Bad ending.
That's cool.
See?
Sure.
Maybe when you played it, it was a good ending.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So I think we're both right.
What about Conker's Bad Fur Day?
No one knows how that game ends. Yeah. What?
So I think he like fails to save his girlfriend. And it ends up with him like on the throne and the Conan
right.
and the Barbarian thing, and he's like unhappy. He like won his quest, but now he's like left alone and unhappy.
Here's the test.
It's like, it's like at what cost?
Is he a vampire at the end?
No, he's not a vampire.
But it's a good ending.
And it looks it's like that Clockwork Orange illusion there too.
Oh, so good.
One more Splatterhouse. Your girlfriend is kidnapped. This this mask attaches itself to your face, gives you the power to go and rescue her. But when you get to her, she transforms into a hideous demon. You have to kill her.
Oh, no.
Then the mask attacks you.
Yeah,
you have to defeat the mask.
Nothing good happens. That whole sequence of things.
Yeah,
the mask attaching to your face is even a bad thing.
And then after the credits, the mask comes back together and laughs and flies off. So. Bad ending.
Naturally.
If a match.
It's a bad day.
If you ever have a mask attaching yourself to your face, you should probably just throw it in the towel.
That's what you learn from every Black Mirror episode. Don't ever let the stuff go into your brain or your head that you can't remove by yourself. Just don't do that.
Or don't open your eyes.
That's like the moral of like 6 out of 12 episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bird box.
What if technology ... but bad?
Yeah. Yeah. What if technology ... in brain?
I love it. That's the pitch for Black Mirror.
Yeah.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay. It came up, but the plural of Metroidvanias is Metroid likes.
I don't think that's correct. That doesn't seem right. Now, where's Justin?
He's coming.
How far was Damon's desk from here?
I don't know. I just waited till the end. I was waiting for the nice segue.
Do you guys use meters or feet?
Oh, that's interesting. It depends on what it is.
Is it interesting?
It is. Well, it's less interesting and more of like if we're using.
We're still off the air. So
yeah, that's fair. I use square footage when I'm talking about distance. That's a home or a property or something like that.
Like,
but it's kilometers and meters and a bunch of other metric stuff for like when you're talking about like long distances or if you're driving and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So real estate.
Yes.
Feet.
Okay.
Yes.
Back.
Yeah.
This week in gaming history. We've got three.
Was that
so good?
What's up? I'm sorry.
What was that?
Dracula X.
Okay.
There it is.
Stage
it's complete.
Not a good game.
Yeah. Dracula X. That is a good game.
Well, wait.
Yeah.
Dracula X is the version on SNES. It's terrible.
No.
No, it's terrible.
Well, okay, but the original. Wait, so wait. What was the.
That's the crappy Rondo of Blood, isn't
it? Yeah. Rondo of Blood is the good one.
Okay, well, sorry.
Also,
they're basically
both
the same game.
Who do you play as in it?
I don't know. Richter?
Good ending.
April 8th, 2009. What game was released this day in history? April 8th, 2009. And here's a hint. You guys will never guess it.
I'll just tell you.
Perfect.
Wait.
Are we doing a mini 20 questions right now?
No.
April 8th, 2009.
Where were you?
That was...
where were you?
I was working at IGN.
2009.
BioShock.
And it was the first month I moved here.
No, BioShock was 2007, I believe.
Whatever, man.
It's a Nintendo DS game.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. No idea.
Moon.
Hotel Dusk.
Moon, no. Puzzle Quest Galactrix.
Ooh. Naturally.
That was the next thing I was
Much maligned.
The sequel, the sci-fi sequel to Puzzle Quest that nobody wanted. People just liked Puzzle Quest and like, we just want more of the same Puzzle Quest stuff.
I thought you liked Puzzle Quest.
I like it.
I liked it. I reviewed it and I'm sure I gave it an 8 something probably. But no one else cared. I don't think anybody cared about that game.
It is a little bit sad that they're still writing that Puzzle Quest. Like
they have the licensed versions. They have Magic Puzzle Quest, Marvel Puzzle Quest.
I know.
And then there's Gems of War, I think is the new original game from the guys that made Puzzle Quest. But it's free to play and there's all this like microtransaction crap in there.
It's that thing where I think like one company has the name Puzzle Quest, but another company
was the developer
that like had the know-how and so now they've parted ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, Puzzle Quest was dope.
It blew up. I loved Puzzle Quest. And then they made Puzzle Quest 2, and people didn't really care about that either because they did this like dungeon crawling aspect of it where you have like direct control of your character, and people are like, nah.
Yep.
It's like the original Puzzle Quest was the Smiling Drake, and then all the other Puzzle Quests are the Talk to the Hand.
But like, how wild is it? I know we're well off. We're well in the woods here now. But like, it's insane. Like, Puzzle Quest came out, and they're like, no, it's an RPG, but you're, like, matching gems to, you know, deal damage and stuff. And, like, that was so far ahead of its time. Think about what every mobile game is now. Think, like, Puzzle and Dragons and, like, everything on Earth.
Is Gumballs and Dungeons the same thing?
It is not. I am still playing Gumballs and Dungeons every day. That game is amazing.
April 10th, 2006, Odama was released.
Mm.
On the GameCube.
I bought it new.
You bought it that day?
Same.
Yeah.
I've never played that one.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It has RTS pinball game? Is that how you
Yeah.
describe it?
It's RTS pinball, and it's got voice controls.
Yeah, it comes in the big box, the end of the GameCube era, and it's like this big box, and it has like a microphone in it, and a clip that goes on your, which is really unique, goes on the GameCube controller.
It's got, yeah.
It clips it on there, so you can go like, left, left.
So,
because buttons aren't good at that kind
no,
of thing.
No, exactly. So buttons,
left.
You have
go
pinball,
left.
You have pinball flippers to knock the ball around, but then you also, it sort of has real-time strategy elements, so you have a little army that you can control with your voice and tell the army where to move, and it would work maybe 60% of the
time.
That
was my next question. I just want to watch you guys play this game and see how long you actually play it.
Do you remember that?
It's a fun game. I don't think you have to use the voice. I can't remember. I think you can use the C-stick.
Do you remember that era of like those Nintendogs too, right?
Yeah.
Like giving your dog voice commands.
Like, stuff like that.
So two of the Mario Party games came with microphones.
Yeah.
And then before that in the Nintendo 64, Hey You Pikachu did, and Casey brought hers in, and we were playing Hey You Pikachu here for a little bit. It was really cute.
Yeah, I bought all those games. I had Nintendogs, and I had Odama, and I think my girlfriend at the time probably almost left me because it was like, I can't stand you talking to this.
In Nintendogs, you could teach your dog the name, and I believe my girlfriend taught the dog the name Hot Dog.
Yeah.
And I heard Hot Dog.
Yeah.
Hot Dog.
All the time.
Hot Dog.
Yeah.
Hot Dog.
Yeah. Mine was Drinky.
It's yelling.
It didn't work.
It's
that was like in Brain Age, like the one that didn't work. Like there was one you had to shout out colors for or whatever, and like one just didn't work.
This is crazy. April 10th, 2006 is exactly 1 week before my first day at IGN.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're right there. Your anniversary is like...
Next week.
Crazy.
And finally, April 11th, 2003 was the first Splinter Cell.
Mm. Wow.
I've never played a Splinter Cell. Should I?
They're good.
Dude, I mean, play like the most recent two of them.
It's hard to go back.
Hard to go back.
Yeah, if you actually, so even voice commands were something in the old days of early Xbox, you had the communicator, right? And they had a lot of those voice commands
What's
built
the
into
communicator?
Those games. Well, that's what they called the headset that came with.
Did they really call
the
that? That's so dorky on just standard Xbox?
Yeah, it was just packaged in, and you could yell commands like reload and squat over here, and then they would just move around. And,
and you were making fun of Odama.
I was initially, but then I knew I was going to bring this up.
The pack-in thing was actually a big deal. Like back when online was not as every console had an online solution, but they were varying degrees of good or not good.
Yeah.
And the Xbox coming with a headset was a major that was a big part of why I liked Halo more than like SOCOM was because I could squat up with people that I like everyone had a mic and everyone chatted and PS2 at the time was just silent.
Yeah.
Just deathly silent. Hey, does anybody here have a mic? And then you just get silence back. So it was really important. It was really important on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Sam, I think you would like Splinter Cell, Blacklist, and Conviction. It's got a really cool mechanic where you can like charge up headshots, tag enemies, like tag up to three enemies in a row, and then automatically take them out with headshots.
Okay. Yeah. So like a little bit like the Red Dead.
Yeah, like Deadeye. Yeah.
It was a really cool stealth game. I didn't get all the way through them, but just even the movements of the game, like they were really well done for their time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Super good. Anyone got that one?
Parasol Stars?
No, that's the continue screen to Salamander/Life Force.
Gotcha. Yeah,
of course it is.
Yeah.
I know that one very well because I died a lot in Life Force.
Yeah, everybody did.
Yeah.
Let's share what we're playing.
I was waiting for another music cue.
Sam, I know that you played Golf Story.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Golf Story. It's really good. It's a really good playing game. I recommend it if you have some hours. But I found out after talking to everybody in the office except for the sole person that beat the game, the reviewer, that everybody has played just as much as I have of Golf Story and liked it a lot.
So
and the reviewer says most people don't like it if you get past a certain point.
Mm. I think I made it to the last major area, but I didn't beat it.
Mm. What was the last major area? Was it a zombie area or something?
I made it past that. I don't recall because I played it right.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Nice.
So golf games have not changed. There's an NES golf game I love called
Golf.
Do you swing?
No,
a club?
No. I don't actually. I think golf is the same, but the NES Open game
is Mario in that game.
Mario's in NES Open.
I know. I figured it was the one you're talking about.
Mario's on the cover of NES Open.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I always get confused because I play a different version of it that's in a PlayChoice cabinet that I have access to. Hmm. But it has a different name. But it's really, really good, and it's the exact same mechanics. Like, it hasn't changed. It shows you the wind speed, the pitch of the thing, the field or whatever, and then it has you know, the exact same like power and
each time. Oh.
And then like where you can aim on the ball.
Yeah.
Top spin on it.
Has changed. And none of that's like real golf.
No.
That's the confusing thing.
Yeah.
It's all just video game crap.
Yeah.
And it's so fun.
The timing. It is fun.
Every sports game is predicated on like a timing mechanic. Whereas if they actually wanted to like try to simulate golf skill, it'd probably be like an analog stick movement or something.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like Skate did when they changed over to
I feel like that's the reason why Wii U in that, or not Wii U, but Wii before in that era when it came up was so popular, because bowling, golf, they just were natural movements that you've wanted to do for years, and you got a controller in your hand, you're like, let's do this.
I love everybody's golf, but there's no denying that it's not making any kind of approximation of like
that game looks fantastic. I should try that out.
I was actually a little disappointed in that one, and I loved Hot Shots Golf.
No, sorry, that's what I should say. The new Everybody's Golf was a little bit of a bummer, but I love that franchise.
And I know some people out there really liked it, but I, you know, as much as I loved Hot Shots, it didn't click for me for some reason.
Like the open world wasn't a good match.
Justin, here we go.
No, it's the same. I'm still playing Gumballs and Dungeons.
Okay,
it's great. I'm getting close to, this is a little bit of a spoiler.
Oh my gosh.
There's a long, long grind as you get near the end game where you're repairing, you kind of don't know what you're doing, but you're repairing this broken down area. And it's, you know, there's these timers, like 12 hours later, this component's going to be done and yada, yada. And then at the end of that, the entire planet you're on turns into a spaceship. Then you go into space.
Wow. Interesting.
So that's what I'm currently working
on. Unexpected.
I'm repairing Eden one step at a time. Yeah. And by next week, it'll be done.
And it could this grind be increased if you put more money into the game?
Not really. It was mainly meant to. We don't need it. We don't need it.
Okay, sorry.
How much
I didn't want to. Yeah. I'm just wondering. I heard grind with mobile games.
No. Like, it's not one of those. I said this on the show last week.
That's the reason.
It's not one of those mobile games where you can spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. If you spend like $9, you're good for the year.
Yeah.
Because if you spend $9, it gives you currency every single day for like, I think, like 300 and some days.
Cool. Nice.
CJ.
As the Let's Play producer or associate or however you want to call it, I've been involved in a bunch of them. And we just threw on Master Chief Collection here the last few days. And it's got a huge upgrade, actually. And so I was playing a little bit of Halo 2, 3, 4. Just multiplayer. But I was excited to actually just jump in there and see some of the campaign stuff. The elements, if you haven't actually gone into them and seen them, they pretty much allow you to do a comparison of the cinematics in between. And it's crazy how good they are. Really, really good.
For 2 and 1.
Yeah, right? For 2 and 1. I think 2 was completely remastered and allows you to flip back and forth in real time. And it's crazy how good those are.
And 1 had been before the collection.
And 1, they did 1 earlier. But the collection, so the collection that was new pretty much for number 2, they had done the same thing they did to 1 a few years back. But
will you, games. Let's become Xbox buddies, and I want you to carry me through the legendary campaigns.
Ooh, so I don't know if I've even beaten on the legendary campaigns. Like, they are really, really difficult.
1, 2, and 3 are totally possible.
Yeah, they are.
4 is really hard.
I thought 2 is the impossible.
But you definitely need to have a teammate, because of the way the spawn system works. If you end up dying, you basically run away.
I soloed
1, 2, and 3,
but I could never figure out.
So, Damon, in the legendary campaigns, if one person's still alive, your teammates will spawn around them.
Yes.
And so,
if you're not in the heat of battle.
So my role will be to just cower and hide and be a mobile respawn point for CJ.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's some really cool puzzle solving in legendary where it's like when you have to figure out where things kind of infinitely spawn, or if they do, or if like what things you can just absolutely run past. Those are really fun sequences where you can just run from checkpoint to checkpoint. It happens in 2 a lot.
You can if you have like the wrong kit, you're just like kind of hosed. You have to know like what to take into each fight.
And then vehicles are like so essential that a lot of it is like figuring out where to run to go get a ghost.
Yeah.
And just like,
absolutely.
Do the whole level with it. I love that. And those games are such good sandboxes.
They really are. And I'm stoked to actually play it with my kids, too, because they haven't actually played Halo.
Oh, that would be really good.
I've let them play Titanfall. They're playing Apex and stuff like that now. They're big into Fortnite, but I actually want to go,
this has a lot of purple in it, like Fortnite.
That's right. You know, Halo, Ghost. I hear you.
Yeah. It's a purpley game.
I've been playing a little bit of Darksiders War Mastered Edition on Switch. Because it's out now on Switch. And I hadn't played the original Darksiders since it was originally released in whatever, 2000...
Yeah, something.
Nine.
Era.
Something. Yeah. I remember liking it a lot back in the day, and it's still pretty fun. It seems a little dated, but it's like a really fun Zelda-like
game. Yeah.
Action-adventure game, and it looks pretty good on Switch, too.
Yeah.
So I was surprised.
What does it play like? Is there any like frame rate issues or anything like that?
No, there's 2 modes. You can put it in performance mode or quality mode.
Gotcha.
Which is a little confusing, but I think performance mode ups the frame rate. And that it ran much more smoothly when I put that on.
Yeah.
Looking good. A little bit of that, and I've been playing a lot of Blackthorn on Super Nintendo. And that game is awesome. It holds up so well.
It's hard though, right? Because you have to do the animation.
It's not like a particularly hard game, I don't think. It's really fun.
It's really confusing because of the way it's animated.
Blackthorn is so much better than Flashback.
Okay.
Interesting.
And better than Out of This World, I think so too. Another one. And what's so cool about it is that it has this really cool atmosphere. It's like, you know, it's like a Super Nintendo game, but it has this like dark, foreboding, moody atmosphere to it. I don't know how they pull it off. It's Blizzard. It's really, really cool.
We got to get that cartridge. I'll look it up.
Yeah. It totally holds up. It's a really, really fun game to play today.
Do you have that?
Nice. No, I was going to say, I don't think I've beaten either one of those games. I've gotten really far into them, and I think I remember looking up the ending because it just...
In Blackthorn?
All those games, yeah. Blackthorn, Flashback, and Out of This World.
So I found out the ending. First of all, I didn't know there was a sequel to Out of This World. There's Out of This World 2.
Oh.
I think it was a Sega CD or something. It was on a disc. Mm. But, you know, in the original game, you're this guy Lester who gets like... He's like a scientist. He's working on this experiment, and he gets warped to this other dimension, right?
Yeah. Beamed away.
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil the end of Out of This World 2 for everyone.
Okay,
everybody?
It. Sure.
He never makes it home. Oh. He dies.
Oh.
And you know his friend that he like meets early on in another world, and you sort of travel through the game together, and the puzzles involve like, you know, using both characters to like flip switches and open doors and stuff. He burns your body on a pyre.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's
the ending.
Yeah. And then,
there's a bad ending.
Like a Jedi?
He makes it home to his family. And then it shows like his family in his like city like thriving and he's doing well. Oh. But you, the guy you're playing with, dies and get burned on a pyre.
So why would he probably dies and gets burned.
No, that's the end of 2.
Oh, the end of 2?
Yeah. Why
oh, no.
Yeah.
Man, we should do a segment on bummer game endings.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
wow.
That's a good idea. Next week, we'll talk about bummer game endings.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
All right, the April...
That really sounded like Salamander to me.
That one might have been Salamander.
Sounds a little bit like Star
I'm
Fox,
joking, because you already played it once.
Yeah. Oh, which one was that? Did I say that was Dracula X?
Yeah.
The April 1997 issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly. And the cover is The Lost World Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
First info on the Neo Geo 64 game system.
Okay.
Naturally.
Don't think that was ever
really
a thing.
Final Fantasy VII.
They have an exclusive on Tomb Raider 2.
I don't remember the Lost World suite of games either.
No. Yeah, well, because I think the movie was so disappointing.
It's awful.
Mortal Kombat 4, when Mortal Kombat reached its low point.
That was a terrible
game. Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 4 5, 6, and even 7 are just like, ugh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that 4 was recognized as bad.
Yeah, arcade.
That's when it moved to 3D.
3D was not well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not good.
Win a trip to E3.
Oh, that's right.
First of all, how this ad is so gross.
I remember that ad.
Here's this ad. It's an ad for Game Boy Colors, and it's just... 6 different colored tongues coming out of skin somewhere.
Yeah.
It's so disgusting.
The tongues
that's
are...
what the 90s were like.
Yeah. That is.
Loud.
That is what the 90s were like. Let's check out page 11 here. Oh, yeah. Is this what I wanted to show? Yeah. There's an ad for a Die Hard arcade. It says, save your quarters for the laundromat.
In 1997, they put out a Die Hard arcade game
on the Sega Saturn. This is just for the Sega Saturn.
Dude, Die Hard arcade's dope.
It says
3 games in 1.
It says, it'll blast you like a sawed-off shotgun. Don't wear white.
Because you'll get bloody red.
You played this on Saturn?
I played it in arcades. My school took a ski trip, but I was a nerd and didn't want to ski, and so I stayed in the lodge and played Die Hard Arcade all like that entire day.
Do you know what year that game was from? Because that's a port. Maybe from that year.
I mean, I think that was like a 5th grade ski trip, so that would line up. Yeah, probably 96.
Wow. That's such a weird arcade idea in 1996.
Yeah, and it's 3 games in 1. It's like Die Hard Trilogy.
Huh.
I might be conflicting. Die Hard Trilogy may be something else now that I come to think of it.
And there's a two-page spread ad for the Sega Saturn where they're running a promotion. Buy 2 games, get 1 free.
Because
this is 1997.
Yeah.
Sega Saturn was not in a good place.
No. Mm-hmm. They were going down. They saw the writing.
But there's some Sega news in this issue about a power merger.
Cool.
About Sega and Bandai merging in a $1 billion deal. Sega and Bandai were going to merge.
Yeah.
And then that never happened.
That's really interesting because Bandai is now, you know, they make games.
They merged with Namco.
Yeah. But like they're not, that's not where their money is. Like they own like Robotech, right?
Like all these anime properties.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like one of the biggest like entertainment companies in Japan. So at the time, you know, Sega was 2.
And Pachinko.
Think how different they've become since then. That would have been a really strange merger.
Yep.
Yeah. They announced Sega was going to merge with Bandai and then it just, that never happened.
What's that picture of a console on it?
Where do you see that?
Under Sonic?
That's That's about the Pippin. Oh, Bandai was involved with Apple's Pippin console in some way. I don't know how.
We bought a brand new Pippin and unboxed it in the office, like sealed brand new Pippin.
That's so cool.
And, it's slick. Here. Pear bought it.
Here in the news tidbits, the PlayStation memory card storage limit has been broken yet again. In Japan, one company has released a 480-block memory card. Remember that?
Block.
That's They're a just lot blocks. Of blocks.
Yeah.
I guess, like, I don't even remember. I guess you needed memory cards on PlayStation, but they weren't, like, well, you didn't buy, like, a 250-megabyte one. They just had blocks.
Yeah, it was blocks. It was 32 blocks in the beginning, and each save game was a block. So that's not that unreasonable, 32 games. Yeah. But then games started coming out that took multiple blocks, and so it's like your memory card would be, like, it was full so fast, and then I had this sad, sad moment of having to, like, delete save games off my memory cards, man.
Yeah, that's something the early Sam, hard drive.
This is a hardship Sam didn't have to deal with.
Yeah.
No, I had on my PlayStation 2, I had memory cards.
That's true,
it was very similar.
Yeah.
And they would just wipe themselves every once in a while.
Ooh. If you bought the third-party ones, if you bought those high-capacity ones like that.
This headline is Nintendo.
No one's made that joke.
Despite stellar holidays, N64 loses key RPG. While posting record sales in the United States at the end of 1996, Nintendo suffered a tough blow when N64 developer Enix announced that the next game in its Dragon Quest series, Dragon Quest VII, will be a PlayStation exclusive to arrive by 1999.
Oof.
Yeah.
Drakwe.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't get 5 and 6 here anyway.
Is that true? I don't know if that's actually true.
We got them eventually.
That's true. Well, I mean, we might have got them on PlayStation. We never got them on a Nintendo system.
Yep.
They have a report on the PlayStation analog pad, the DualShock. I guess they weren't calling it back then.
Yeah.
EGM's editors are among the first gamers in the United States to grip the eagerly awaited dual analog PlayStation controllers from Sony. First thoughts, two thumbs on or up.
Is there a... look at that, it's the boomerang controller from
E3. The boomerang, yeah, but that was later. That was even in the PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
That was just a coincidence that somebody made a dumb controller twice in history. It'll happen again.
Oh, yeah, somebody will think it's cool. We'll redo it.
The top 10 picks of the month. Overall, the number one game of the month picked by EGM editors was Mario Kart 64.
Sure.
Makes sense.
Hey, do you guys think that boomerang controller is art?
Let's ask.
I think so. On PlayStation, number one was Tomb Raider. On Saturn was Street Fighter Alpha 2.
Ooh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Nothing really interesting from Quarterman this month, I'm afraid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen the Street Fighter Alpha that came out on SNES and it's like really competent and amazing?
No.
No.
It should not have come out on SNES, but it did.
Really?
So they got a preview of Ocarina of Time. So remember, this is 97.
Yeah,
the game is April 97, so it's still a year and a half away.
That's great. I bet those old screenshots.
Whoa, those screenshots are so cool.
And then listen to this, though. It has not been determined. This is the preview text. It has not been determined whether Link will be the star of this game yet.
Nice.
But it is known that the hero is left-handed, which is like the Link we knew from previous games.
What a bizarre...
Sure.
The pictures on this page would hint at the possibility of a much younger hero, perhaps Link's son.
Oh, because he looked really young?
Also unknown at this time is whether the hero will be saving Princess Zelda or a descendant of the princess who Ganon loves to torment.
Ah.
Naturally.
So do they write... so they probably got some postage stamp size screenshots from Japan or wherever.
And they just made up text
based off of like...
There's a boy here. It's probably Link's son.
If you think about it, Link was only Link in the games up until then, right? Because isn't... Well, I can't remember with Link to the Past, but definitely Zelda 1, 2, and Link's Awakening is all the same Link.
He's already a different Link in Link to the Past, I think.
For sure?
No, not for sure. No, the Zelda timeline makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think...
I think that is a reboot, because you actually see him as young. And
I think Link to the Past follows Ocarina according to the timeline that they've set down, but that didn't exist.
Where's Pear? Pear was in the early... I think he's one of those few people who got a chance to see that game well in advance.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Here's an ad that says the newest Star Wars adventures are coming to television, and you can find them on this station.
Ooh.
It's the PlayStation.
Naturally.
Hmm. Yeah. It's an ad for two games, Dark Forces and Rebel Assault 2.
Man, look at that 4x3 TV.
Star Wars Dark Forces was dope. It was like Doom clone. They weren't called first-person shooters yet.
Jared always loves to talk about that game. I think it looks interesting. The other game, what was it called?
Rebel Assault 2.
That game sucks.
Okay. There's an ad for Vandal Hearts, which is a really cool turn-based strategy game on PlayStation.
Yep.
From Konami, I believe. And what I really liked about it is when you killed an enemy unit, just this geyser of blood erupted out on the screen. It was great. And then in the review section, they actually review Vandal Hearts. Oh, yeah, look at this ad for Soul Blade. It has all these like, cards.
That's cool. Like,
I punched those cards out. Those cards.
Really?
There's nine pretty like card stock quality cards, glossy cards in here that you can punch.
That started your trend of ruining all your packaged.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Hey,
things are bought to be used.
Yeah. Yeah, they reviewed Vandal Hearts. It got the IGN, or the EGM silver with a bunch of nines and eights in their review. What else did they review here? Page 50. Oh, yeah. There's an ad for this game called Swagman on PlayStation. You ever heard of this game?
No.
It says Sweet Dreams. It's a game called Swagman. I've never heard of it. I looked it up. IGN reviewed it and gave it a 5.
Ooh. Not so swaggy.
Do you think it has a bad ending? I mean, look at this.
Clearly he's a bad guy.
It looks like you're playing as a bad guy.
Yeah, it does.
Possibly a vampire.
Looks like you're a killer clown.
Oh, wow. We'll jump ahead to page 104.
There was a whole preview on Die Hard Arcade.
I was just going to say, I saw that, yeah.
And here's a preview for Mega Man Battle and Chase, the Mega Man kart racer, which is also on the back cover, which never came out here in North America.
Rip.
Wow, just never came out. So you confirmed that?
Yep.
Damn.
And it's on the back cover, so they got far enough along to market it.
This U.S. magazine previewed the game. Capcom bought an ad and then never put it out in North America.
Missed opportunities.
It's a pretty mediocre game. The Mega Man kart racer.
Feels like it could have been good. All the robot bosses and, oh man, that'd have been great.
So Mega Man rides Rush. What do the robot bosses ride?
They just have like...
Each other?
It's like Iceman has like a snowmobile.
Aw.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah, that'd have been crazy.
I think it's rude that Mega Man rides Rush.
I mean...
Is Rush a dog?
Yeah.
Is that art?
He's a robot dog.
I mean, is Mario... punch Yoshi in the head when he jumps?
Yes.
That's exactly.
And letters to the editor. This is from someone who writes in, says, a problem that has bothered me for some time now is the fact that most video game rental stores have about 50 more games for the PlayStation than the Saturn.
Oh.
In one store, the latest Saturn release they had was Iron Storm.
What?
Of course, the PlayStation has a new game to rent every week.
Shame.
My point is that since we gamers can't afford to shell out the money to buy every new game, we have to rent them first. But how can we rent games that aren't there?
This was a very big problem in 96.
Why did they write into EGM?
Are there exclamation points?
Emphasis mine.
Okay.
I had a video store called Acme Rentals. Mm-hmm. You guys have that?
No.
You know what that is?
No. You think it's a chain?
It was a chain.
I think all three of you rented,
Blockbuster.
Like every once in a while, you know, I would rent a game for the weekend, but I think that was a lot bigger part of like your childhood than mine.
Games?
I rented every single weekend.
Yeah. I have all the receipts. For whatever reason, I have a stack of like, 50 receipts. Where
for
I
renting
just,
games?
Yeah, for a whole bunch of like N64.
Still?
I just kept them. I have no idea why.
Have a copy of Blackthorn.
You moved them?
No, I did not.
You
just
moved them to America?
Somewhere. There's somewhere in a... In a shrine.
I rented games up through Sega CD, which I recall very clearly because you don't want to buy those games.
Yeah.
No.
And then maybe 32X even, but I don't remember ever doing it again after that.
Yeah.
No 64 or PlayStation era. I do remember the 64 games. So we rented Daytona.
Oh, yeah. Sega Saturn, I remember renting like Sonic and stuff. Did you, you rented from Blockbuster probably just right at the tail end?
No, we had a Hollywood Video.
Oh, okay.
As a chain.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of independent stores that had better games. The independent stores had the better games.
Weren't they like a little bit expensive? Like the rentals were not cheap.
Yeah, they were expensive.
By that point, they had jacked them up. And you could rent consoles, but I never did that because they were too expensive.
Well, it's like if the rental is $5 or $6, it's like 10 times you could have bought a game.
Yeah. And you, for consoles, you had to usually.
But all the games are bad.
Deposit down of almost like.
Good ones.
You had to put a deposit down of double the price you the console. So if the console was, you know, $400, you'd have to put like another $200 or $300 like to just have in case.
I've never been even near a rented console. I've never known anybody.
Yeah, I have, but not often.
Yeah.
Here's a letter from a writer who wished to remain anonymous.
Oh boy.
It says, "Dear EGM, I submitted a letter to your magazine a while ago, and by the grace of Submit Your Deity here, it was printed. However, my email address was also printed along with the letter."
They did that?
While it was simply a question about video gaming, I was subjected to several nonsense letters for a good while.
Nonsense.
My point of submitting another letter is just to let people know what could happen if you include your email address with a letter to a magazine. I don't want to discourage anyone from having it printed, but most people don't even think about the consequences of having your email address known to thousands of not quite right in the head people.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's really cute and charming that he calls the emails he got letters.
Yeah.
Letters. Imagine if this guy had logged on with a Twitter account in the last 10 years.
And then
I hope EGM, can find
EGM
this
EGM put his email address in there again.
No, this is email address withheld by request.
Yeah.
And EGM responds, great advice. Everybody, if you don't want your email address printed, please tell us so in your letter.
Just make it an editorial practice. Yeah, well, how hard is this?
No, it's like, we're just going to hit this guy up for what?
What
possible, I don't know.
What possible benefit is there for putting the email address in there with their millions of readers?
And it takes up space, and there's just so many reasons editorially
that's
we have to do.
So weird.
Yeah. I mean,
but let's
in 1997, I'd only had an email address for a couple of years.
It's so new, right?
Pretty new.
Yeah.
Let's go 1 year back or 1 month back and find his email address and see what, what he's up to.
Okay.
Did you, was it Hotmail?
Or she.
Was Hotmail address?
No, my first one was whatever, the University of Kansas.
Oh, gotcha. Like, my first one was a Hotmail. I still have a Hotmail from like 1998.
Same.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's still
Hotmail
active.
Was like super late in advance.
Yeah.
I had Yahoo.
Yeah. Oh, I had Yahoo on as well.
Mine might have been AOL, actually. Yeah.
And a lot of people had AOL.
Yeah.
Or what's a, there's a really funny early one that I see sometimes. AOL is pretty good.
Yeah.
CompuServe.
Yeah, exactly.
CompuServe.
There's something USA.
Finally, EGM has just a goofy list here of nine
Earthlink.
Things.
Earthlink.
A list of things only a fool would wait for. Right? So nine things only a fool would wait for. Number one, a Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat crossover.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Number two, one universal system that plays every game.
Yep, still waiting on that.
Still waiting. We got close.
Google
Cross
Stadium. Google Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Close, Number three, a new arcade game that takes only one quarter.
Mobile.
Number four.
Take that, arcade game operators.
Number four, Nintendo to stop bringing out 64-bit updated versions of past hits. Only a fool would hope for that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, well,
number five, ouch. Sega to stop making new game systems or add-ons.
Well...
Number six.
That absolutely came true.
Number six, out. Sony to realize that 2D games can be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had Symphony of the Night.
This is a very biting list, but it's pretty good so far.
Seven, Squaresoft, Nintendo, or working designs to make a really, really bad game. Only a fool would wish for that. Number eight, awesome. A new 3DO or Jaguar game.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And number nine, Virtual Boy 64. Really? Only a fool would wait
for
that.
It was already a joke.
Yeah. Memed.
The April 1997 issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly.
That was a dinosaur game you never told us.
Hulkamania.
There's just a really boring, like, four-page preview of that Lost World game.
I wonder if they paid for that.
Was that Castlevania 4?
No, that was the Dracula X. remember, I get these things in batches.
I know.
So. That brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Nick H. in San Antonio, Texas. Let the questioning begin.
Could this game have appeared in the April 1994 issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly?
No.
But this was the 1997 issue.
Whatever, man.
Which one did you answer?
Either.
Okay.
I've been rolling with the optical-based medium question, Sam, a lot. It's a good one.
Took my question.
I absolutely have been claiming it.
While I was out?
Listen, Sam, 100%. I need all the help I can get with 20 questions, all right?
All right.
Is it on a optical-based medium?
Hmm.
Originally.
Hey, man, how,
originally.
Not originally. Did you go home and think about how to answer these questions?
It was not originally, and I don't even know if it is today.
Okay. All right. Good. It looks like we might be
pre-95.
Was this a digital game?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I figured he wasn't.
Yeah.
Did this game come out on Xbox Live Arcade?
No.
Was this game on a handheld platform?
No. Well.
And you can hold phones in your hand.
Yeah. Love these caveats.
That's really
got
funny.
Got a freebie there. Got a nice freebie.
When it was originally released, it was not on a handheld platform. However... Today, it's on a platform that can be held in your hands.
Switch now.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a Nintendo. We got
there
Nintendo.
That's five questions.
Yeah, wow.
Nintendo.
I'm ready to get this.
It's really giving away the farm on that one.
How do I answer?
Could be Stardew Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Could be Darkest Dungeon.
Mm-hmm. What's the Nintendo?
You don't
question?
Have to ask a question, Steve.
Listen, Sim, it's already just, so many episodes where that happens.
We're processing right now, okay? We're just relaxing.
It's okay.
And thinking about winning this game or else.
That's true.
Would you?
That's always how we go into this, right?
Would you call this like a current game that's like, you know, around now, like in 2019, are people talking about thinking about this game?
That's just keep asking broad. The question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would.
Save the clearly Canadian.
It's all good.
All right.
It's still in my body. CJ. All right. Was this? Yeah. I don't even care if it was well received.
don't care.
Was this game? Does this game have 2D graphics?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. Is this a genre? Is this a platformer?
No.
No.
Well, it's okay. We eliminated a lot.
Did we write an IGN strategy guide for this game?
I don't know.
Damon, this is my career we're talking about.
All right. Is this game generally considered a peaceful game?
No.
It's not Stardew Valley.
Nope. Nope.
Mm. Or Undertale?
Or Undertale.
Damon doesn't know enough about Undertale to answer that.
I don't. Undertale can be very not peaceful
and
if
very
you choose.
Peaceful.
Or very peaceful.
Hmm.
I know Undertale is not a cultural phenomenon.
Rude.
Everybody loves Undertale, Damon.
Does this have like 8-bitty old school graphics?
Why is that funny?
8-bitty?
What's going on with you?
Sorry.
Get it together, man.
8-bitty? Yeah.
To answer your question, Sam, yes.
We say that in America.
Okay, that's yeah, 10. But all right. So do you mean like, is it like a retro game remade? 8-bitty?
Yes is really important. That means it could be Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
That means, well, that's not a platformer.
I'm leaning shovels.
But it's not a platformer. That's really weird.
Right.
That's weird. Platformer. All those 8-bitty games are platformers.
So it could be like an RPG or one of these duck game type fighters or something like that.
Yeesh.
Does this game have multiplayer?
Yes.
Whoa.
I didn't expect
not
that.
Not an RPG.
Yeah, I'm thrown for a loop now.
Duck game.
By it being having pixel graphics but not be a platformer.
Or Nidhogg or...
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's a good one. So that's got multiplayer in it.
I don't think that came to the... Switch or any handheld screen.
Nidhogg 2 did.
Did it?
No, maybe not. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was on Switch.
There's a lot of games like this, though.
Let's just throw out more games.
This game, Towerfall. Mm-hmm.
Towerfall, or what was that Tetris-y game we played?
Tetris-y game. Tetris 99?
No, the block the block game where we played it at Paris Disc a lot.
Oh, yeah, Ding Dong XL?
No. It was an 8-bit Tetris. Never mind. You really? Stack blocks on top of buildings and they fell over.
Oh, the one with Tetris, but
it's not that
with
game.
Tetris with physics.
Yeah,
I think
it's just Ding Dong.
It could actually be Towerfall.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out the next way to like
ask a question around that.
Is it 4-player? You could ask, right?
Yeah, is this game mainly known for its like 4-player multiplayer?
No.
God
damn it.
Should we quantify the multiplayer? Like, is it online or local? Because the Nidhogg would, I think it was only local, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I don't think you could play that game online.
Well, I don't know.
I don't think.
Is this game generally considered an indie game?
Yes.
That's cool. 8-bit indie.
Can
play as 2-player. Not a platformer.
Not a platformer. I mean
should we ask if it's a side? Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah.
Is this a side scroller?
No.
Okay.
That would have eliminated Towerfall. That would have been a good question.
Oh, what's the bug game? The bug and robots game that he loves.
Bug and robots.
Yeah. The game from the
Into the Breach.
Yeah, Into the Breach.
Good.
Is that a strategy game?
Question, yeah.
It's a strategy. Uh-huh. That's a type. Is this a strategy game?
No.
Damn.
That means it's time for the boss fight music.
Oh, no. Oh, wow, that bass.
That also means it's not Wargroove.
Yeah.
5 questions to go.
I don't know what we can ask. We've eliminated
with that
so many things.
With that music.
Did we play this game in the office?
Like
in groups?
No.
Together at all?
No.
No. Okay. So then we don't know it, so why are you even selecting this for a 20 question?
I was at a bar that had a Killer Queen arcade machine in it.
Yeah, those are neat.
I'd never seen one in person before.
People line up to play that game.
It was great. And I also saw, sorry, this is a little
tangent. Could it be Killer Queen?
Maybe that's why I saw the cutest thing as a dad, where we were at this bar. They also serve food, so it's not like I'm taking my 4-year-olds into bars all the time.
not today.
But it was her with some of her little friends, and for the first time ever in her life, they were like crowding around an arcade machine, and then they like thought they were playing. They're like mashing the buttons on the attract screen. So, and I'm just like, that's such a memory that we all have of like seeing these arcade games and sort of like lusting after them and thinking that we're playing, but we're not playing.
Yeah,
my daughter did that for the first time. That was a cool memory.
That's awesome. Love that stuff.
Anyway, yes, could potentially be Killer Queen, although that's side-scrolling.
Well, I would say that he wouldn't say it's side-scrolling because it's like a locked screen.
It's not scrolling.
Yeah, exactly. And which would account for Towerfall and stuff too.
Damon wouldn't do that to us.
Oh, he would totally do that. But that game, it doesn't have 4-player.
Oh, yeah, good point.
But maybe it's known for its 8-player.
Not a strategy game, not a platformer. What does that leave us with?
How many do you have left?
Three questions and a guess left.
Like, I'm trying to think about like multiplayer like puzzle games.
I mean, are there like contemporary racing or music games that are like this?
No.
Music?
Racing.
Just to clarify, you asked if it has multiplayer. That you know, just remember that. It doesn't mean like it's like it primarily a multiplayer game.
No, I know.
Thanks, Dave.
When's the best time to ask the hack? Is it now or after one more?
Oh, just say as many games as possible.
Well, that's what
first.
I mean, yeah.
You got to say as many games as you know in your head.
I don't know any.
I think you should do it. Now's the time.
I don't know. I don't think we've mentioned it.
Yeah, I don't think we have either.
I don't think we have either.
She's well, don't
what
ask
are,
that
what are the Shovel Knights of the single player, you know, 8-bit like world?
Like mess. I mean, they're all side scrollers.
Did Shovel Knight have multiplayer?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's a side scroller.
Yeah, it's side scroll, and it's kind of side scroller platformer.
What about like Baba Is You type games? So there's like
that's what I was trying to think of like a block pushy puzzle game, but I can't think of any of those that
Box
have a multiplayer.
Boy, but Box Boy is side scrolling.
Do we nail down if it is a puzzle game? Like
no, we don't know anything.
You can ask
about
that.
Yeah,
this is a puzzle game.
No,
Damon,
what?
We're not getting.
No, don't. Serious. Yeah, it's like we don't even know what the game is right now. It's not strategy.
The point of the game is to guess the game.
I mean, I'm realizing that now, but when we can't even guess the genre,
yeah, we're in real trouble.
We're in trouble. It's not a platformer. It's not a puzzle game. It's not a strategy game. We asked that.
We know, and Damon basically gave us a big freebie that it was ported to the Switch.
We didn't ask if it was a fighting game, because it still could be. No. It's not. Sorry. No, it's not. It's not multiplayer focused.
No, but it could be a fighting game.
Mm-hmm. The Switch library is not that big. I feel like we should be able to get there. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a, I don't know.
8-bitty. It couldn't have been a shooter.
I mean, I wonder if it's like Dead Cells or something that I don't know has, no, because
it's no multiplayer in that.
Inside scrolling.
Should we ask if it's a fighter? I can't think of any other type of game.
No, because it's not multiplayer focused. That was like a hint we got.
Yeah, but if it does have multiplayer, then what other genre could it be?
It could be like
anything.
I know, but like there's lots. I feel like we went through almost all of them.
It could be an RPG.
And we didn't ask that.
Could have co-op multiplayer in it.
Like screen by screen RPG.
How many questions we got left? Two questions and a guess. Right. Well, let's save the hack for the last one. So I feel like we should ask that if it's RPG.
You still want to get a genre?
I mean, I don't think if we've mentioned so many games right now.
What if we blew that up to a bigger question? Like, do you get to, you know, choose a character, or can you play as a woman or something like that?
I don't know if that helps us, but
anymore?
Yeah.
All right. Is it RPG?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it wouldn't be.
All right.
No, we're not getting
it. Have we previously mentioned this game yet?
No.
Holy cow.
We're in real trouble here. We really botched this one, boys.
But we didn't. I mean, well, we did. But I don't know what other questions we could ask at this point.
I mean, just better ones, different ones.
You know, it's an indie game that people are talking about it today. Multiple platforms, not a side scroller, not a platformer, not strategy, not puzzle. There's a multiplayer component.
We didn't ask if it was a fighting game. Nidhogg is the only thing that I think would be a shot. No, we didn't. We mentioned that game. So, yeah, not that. All right. Well,
we give up.
Shot in the
dark. Was released in 2016 on Steam. Now it's available on every platform today. You shoot a lot in it. You shoot a lot in it. And you guys didn't ask anything about that.
Yeah, we usually do.
Super Time Force or Enter the Gungeon.
Enter the Gungeon is the one. top-down pixel art game.
Yeah.
Good. That was good.
That was nice. Wow. Oof.
And I don't get to play the victory music. So.
But I want to hear it.
No.
Get it, Sam.
No. You didn't earn the victory music.
It's a bad ending.
Maybe next week.
A sad ending.
Yeah. Bummer ending.
Mm-hmm. Who's the vampire?
Well, we're all showing up on screen, so I don't think it's any of us.
But it's not a mirror. No. What are the vampire rules?
There's
for being
a mirror
recorded?
Inside the camera, isn't there?
Yeah. So
the first vampire rule is that you can't see them in mirrors. Yeah. The second is that they're all evil.
See, so CJ, you work in video production. What is the mirror rule? How does that extend to video cameras and camera tech?
Digital.
Can they be recorded? Are there mirrors in a camera? There's a lens.
It depends. Now, if you're talking like SLR, single reflex, point shoot, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a mirror?
Yes, that's a mirror. This would not have
Good
a mirror because it's digital. Yeah.
Good to know.
But,
just in case.
It's important.
But most of the time people say I'm the vampire because I don't look like I've aged a lot. So I'm to blame. Yeah.
I never get that, and so just wanted to point that out.
Well, thank you for the suggestion. Nick H. in San Antonio, Texas. If you guys have your own 20 questions, suggestions, email them to me at gamescoop@ign.com. That is all the scoops we have for you this week.
Thanks, man.
I guess hopefully next week we'll have some Star Wars news to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jedi Fallen Order.
Excited.
Tomorrow should be very exciting.
And we can talk about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we can also talk about Game of Thrones.
I'll let you know more about Gumballs and Dungeons.
Thank
as
you.
Well.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely been thinking about that.
You know, if Enter the Gungeon sounds like Gumballs and Dungeons, and I feel like you could have hinted that we had almost said it.
We almost said
the name of this game.
You said the name of a game, a different game, that kind of.
Now we know.
It's got a 5-star review average on the App Store.
And it's 8-bitty.
Before we go, I wanted to let you know I have a new song out. Many of you know I release synthwave music under my own name, but I also have a second project called Color Computer with former GameScooper Ryan Geddes. For that project, he writes the lyrics, and I take them and put them to music. Our latest song is out now. It's called Long Gone. No synths on this one, just guitars. You can find Long Gone by Color Computer in your favorite music service. And that is all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, CJ. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it.
Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.